Dear friends, this is May the 17th. It is 2010. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web tonight. We have a brand new series for this week, the 17th to the 21st, and we'll be with you about four times this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday night, Survive to Thrive Radio Network, and that is at 7 p.m. This week's topic, God is alive and well in these last days, even if some don't want him to be. Again, the topic for the week, God is alive and well in these last days, even if some do not want him to be. And that would include Richard Dawkins, the atheist, and many of those that have risen up lately to be the new atheists with an agenda. And, to blame God, to blame religion, to blame everything. I mean, this is, it's an amazing goal to kind of erase God. And that's the topic tonight out of this theme for the week. Monday night, the attempt to erase God from fingerprints to the visible revelation. Tuesday night, mind controllers, ultimate control or ultimate goal, blanket the perception and reception process. Now, you'll have to come in Tuesday night to get the explanation for that. Wednesday night is going to be the title, Twisting God, Propaganda from Hell's Kitchen, and much more is coming. And then Friday night, why won't God go away, even when some try so hard to nix him? So that's the overall topic, the titles this week. You can always look to the website, ShatterTheDarkness.net. There, weekly, we put up the topic for the week, the four titles for the four nights, and then we have the archives. Then we have, the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, Confronting the Powers Training Course, and we have just put up last Friday the course. It's about 16 hours, called Supernatural Apologetics, and it's absolutely free, along with hundreds of others of MP3s. Everything else up there, listen, take your time when you go to the site. A lot of stuff there. If you're a new believer, over to the left, scroll down. You'll find some discipleship material, daily devotions, things like that. We're glad to be with you right now. We trust that it's a providential hour, 1 hour in my day and yours, in which I believe the hand of God will be involved, even though there are those that deny God's existence and seek to erase, I would even say from the memory of mankind, the existence of God. From the fingerprints of God to the visible revelation. The constant attempt, the constant drive. There is a code within fallen mankind. It's called the sin nature. Romans 8 speaks about the propensity, the drive within to be hostile to God. But I believe it involves the concept of erasing God. And tonight, if we begin into this, I don't know if you've ever been one of those kind of kids in grade school where you had to stay after and wash the chalkboard because you got in trouble. I did that a lot. And so one of the punishments was to stay after school, and you had to erase the entire chalkboard, all that white chalk. You had to take the erasers that had all the white chalk packed into them outside and pat them and get all the stuff out for the teacher. And so erasing the chalkboard and cleaning the erasers was part of the job of some of the kids like me that got in trouble and had to stay after and do some of the dirty work. Well, there's a lot of this kind of dirty work going on. The attempt to literally stretch out a hand and erase the witness of God in creation, the witness of God on the earth. And ultimately, the coming visible revelation will also be, the attempt anyway is to stop it. And so tonight, when we get into this subject, I want to ask you, if you're a believer in Christ, and welcome to all the believers. I wanted you to know that there are people that they don't attend church. There are Baptists, there are Catholics, there are people from all kinds of backgrounds that write me. I got a letter today that I'll probably be answering about somebody who's a little bit bugged why I don't, or maybe I mentioned the name Father Malachi Martin only because it was on the title of a book. Not that I use those names in any kind of reverence, whatever else, but there are some that want me to, there's folks that write to me. They have an agenda and they want me to be the kind of spokesman, or they want to kind of aim what it is that I have to say. But let me tell you again, the overall motivating principle of my life is John 3:16, John 3:17. John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And so when we share that God loves you, God comes to save you and rescue and break the sin nature, break the power of darkness over us and the death code and hell and all of it. Now, I'm going to say that I say this to everyone. Just because you go to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, doesn't mean that you're saved and that you're literally yielded to in-depth, systematic biblical revelation. So please understand that the gospel is the gospel to whomever listens or gets these broadcasts by God's providence. We've seen people come to Christ by the listening. We've seen dozens and dozens and dozens of emails, even one today that just absolutely blessed my heart. And again, overwhelmingly, I don't know thousands and thousands of you. Some of you I got to meet at the conferences this last year in Michigan, St. Louis, and down in Nashville, and that was a great thing. But overwhelmingly, I've not seen your face. You've not really seen mine. But I want you to know that there is a motivating factor, and this week, part of that motivating factor is simply saying God is alive and well in these last days. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how obscure it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how dangerous it gets, God has not diminished, and I believe biblical prophecy teaches that God will, in accordance with end-time events, even step in further and broader. And it's all about one thing. Everything that God is doing, even in restricting and limiting the reign of evil, it's all about, and not returning yet. You read about the prophecy in second book of Peter chapter 3. The reason God, Christ, has not returned is for the salvation of more. God's patience means salvation. And you might be listening and you might have heard the gospel again and again and again. You might be someone that has some other view of God, but you do listen because we deal with issues that are about the end of days and about what really is cutting edge exposure, information, preparation. But the bottom line still is, why don't you know God? And what is obscuring your belief in God's love and God's knowability, that you can know God personally? It's what it comes down to. See, we can argue all day about God is great, God is good, God is infinite, God is indestructible, God exists, all those kind of things, but it comes down to knowing God. See, that's where the difference is in my life. 35 years, I've known God, walked with Christ. He's alive. And that's the motivation behind. So if you're a psychic, remote viewer, a Luciferian, you're off into the New Age, or you believe God is just simply a force out there, but you believe that the end of days and all these things that are going on point to the last days, well, it's important to know what's going on, but without knowing God, then let me ask you again, what is your life all about? Where are you going? What is it all about? Why is the Antichrist coming? See, there's an instead of Christ because of the original, and he's alive, and I know him, and he dwells within me and millions of believers all over the world. And the Bible simply talks about receiving, believing. And we're going to talk about that this week because Well, as we say, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, the title Mind Control's Ultimate Goal, Blanketing the Perception and the Receptive Process. That's right. And so as I would come to share Christ, God, the Word of God, there's another presence that would love to steal the Word so that people can't believe, to obscure things, to malign God, to bring the propaganda. Some of you might be believing the propaganda, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't really enter in, that God's not all-powerful, that God hasn't done something. Now, I've got something before we go into the body of this message tonight. It's called tonight, The Attempt to Erase God from Fingerprints to the Visible Revelation. We're going to talk about the goal to remove the fingerprints of God, prayer, witness, symbols, the Bible, places, and even the visible return. I don't know if we understand the intensity of the dark side, even when we don't get to see who it is that's pulling the strings. Like in The Wizard of Oz, it was behind the curtain where all the controls were. And to this point in history, everything that is ramping up on the dark side, everything that is pushing towards globalism, well, there's someone behind the curtain. And that's part of whom we want to let you know about, because the law of the underground is secrecy for now. Oh, they're going to rear their head in the pinnacle of satanic manifestation in all of history. It's coming. There's no question about that. But the layering and the layering and the layering and the goal to erase God in order to get to that point, it's very important to the Luciferic side to do it in a blanketed way globally, nationally, among the peoples, in consensus, and ultimately against you personally. See, there's somebody that's for you, trying to reach you, to bring you into direct, eternal relationship with God. And there is someone trying to obscure that and steal that and take that. This is all about a battle for your personal existence and eternal destiny. So the attempt to erase God in the removal of many things will continue. We're going to go over that tonight in depth. But I've got to tell you about an article I saw today that just really, literally, it's off the wall. It's Associated Press, and I got it off the Yahoo News, but Associated Press puts it out, and it's pretty amazing. Here's the title: Doomsday Safe Haven Offered Under the Mojave Desert. Let me say it again. Doomsday Safe Haven Offered Under the Mojave Desert. Let me give you some of the pieces of the article in Barstow, California. And there's many of you that listen in California. I've been through Barstow a number of times in being out there in California. Gosh, we've been out there probably 45 times. Here's what it says. Quote, a company with a doomsday plan is taking money for what it promises will be a comfortable nuke-proof bunker under the Mojave Desert. With an atrium, a gym, and a jail, and Sloppy Joe's and Pearl Potatoes on the menu. Robert Vincenio, who runs the Del Mar-based company called Vivios, has collected deposits on half of the 132 spaces planned in the 13,000-square-foot bunker in Barstow. I'm going to continue to quote a little bit of this, okay? Take a listen to this. This is the title of the article Associated Press came out today. Doomsday Safe Haven Offered Under the Mojave Desert. Let's ask the question before I quote some more. Why Doomsday Safe Haven Under the Mojave Desert? Now, obviously, the government has built many, many, many underground bunkers. The boring machines that have been building tunnels deep from base to base all over the United States. Greenbrier in the past, the resort, was originally a cover-up for a underground safe haven for government officials. In this article on the doomsday safe haven offered out there in the Mojave Desert, listen, I'm quoting again, the facility is among several popping up across the country as fears of doomsday have been fueled recently by strong earthquakes, terrorism, and predictions of the world's end in 2012 and when the ancient Mayan calendar is said to end. Look at the impact, 2012ers out there, those who've been looking at the 2012. I mean, I've got a dozen books and videos, materials, all kinds of. I mean, I want to be up on the subject. I want to discern the issue. I want to ask God, you know, in biblical revelation, what is really going on, because there's where you find the infallible, irrevocable, accurate, and detailed descriptions of, tomorrow and the near future and the end of days. It's kind of interesting that I titled this week, and it's before I got the article, God is alive and well in these last days, even if some do not want him to be. In these last days, folks. In these last days. Now, it tells us here, please understand the impact of this article. Quote, the facility they're building underground as a nuke-proof bunker in the Mojave Desert is among several popping up across the country as fears of doomsday have been fueled by recently strong earthquakes, terrorism, predictions of the world's end, 2012, and the ancient Mayan calendar, the end of days. Haven't we been saying that from every stream out there, and now bunker building is based on the consensus. Hear me now. Bunker building doomsday protective places deep in the Mojave Desert and other places we'll talk about. It's all about and all fueled because of the fears, that feeling in the air, the doom of catastrophic events that the Bible predicts in clarity, and many others are feeling the rumblings. I can hear the train a-coming. It's coming down the tracks. That's what's happening. Now, here's a quote from the man behind this construction. He says, quote, I'm careful not to promote fear, but sooner or later, I believe you're going to need to seek shelter, said Vincenio, a real estate salesman whose career started with advertising and moved on to timeshares. Quote again from the article, the political climate now in some ways reflects the Cold War era when many Americans dug backyard fallout shelters, said Jeffrey Knopft, an associate professor of national security affairs at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. Monterey, isn't that where Dr. Stan Monteith is from, I think? Anyway, quoting again, there's a lot of free-floating anxiety out there about the dangers that terrorists will get nuclear weapons and it multiplies, he says. It talks about this now, listen, in the middle of the article, here's what it says. Facilities such as this in the Mojave Desert, a supposedly nuclear-proof bunker. Here's what it says. It's attracting interest in other states. Oregon and Kansas, where there's one engineer, he's developing, listen now, underground survival condos for about $1.75 million. Underground survival condos. See, a lot of folks, they're just got a basement with some of their packets of food and a water purification system. Here's a guide now for $1.75 million underground condos. Absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've read the book of Revelation lately. You ever read part of the book of Revelation where again and again it mentions the fact that in the end of days, there'll be many, many people around the world that will hide in the rocks, the caves, underground. People will go underground for safety. Not only because of the destructive, catastrophic events, the wrath of Antichrist, but also the wrath of God. I don't know if you've done a study lately on the book of Revelation, but you're going to find that around the world, people will hide in the ground. Now, I'm going to go on with the article. I'm quoting again, in Barstow, California, that is, $50,000 will get a bunk. It'll get you a bunk in a four-person room. And they're still taking reservations, $5,000 for adults, $2,500 for kids, and pets are free. Your pet is free. Amazing. Going on in the article, he said, the Portland, Oregon company that owns the Barstow property, TSG Investments, gave him permission to convert it. The land once belonged to AT&T and was originally used as an emergency government communications center during the Cold War. The Los Angeles Times toured the bunker, promising not to reveal the location. He didn't want freeloaders trying to get in if disaster strikes. So it's going to be a secret place only for those who can buy into it. The article goes on. Listen, the title of the article, Doomsday Safe Haven Offered Under Mojave Desert. Going on with the article, I quote, the Times found a giant open area with anemic blue walls and a 3,000-pound door. It's already protected from electromagnetic pulse weaponry. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's a man named Steve Kramer, a 55-year-old respiratory therapist from San Pedro, said he paid $12,500 to reserve spots for him and his family. He's stocking up on dried food and teaching his 12-year-old son to ride a dirt bike in case they have to go off-road and to get a desert bunker. Quote now at the end of the article, we're not crazy people, but these are fearful times, Kramer said. Kramer's the guy that's already paid $12,500. His words at the end of the article are, we're not crazy people, but these are fearful times. Amazing again this week dealing with that God is alive and well in these last days, because everybody is feeling it, wondering about it, checking into it, looking. And you can look to the psychics, you can look to the 2012ers, you can look to Nostradamus, you can look to the Webbot Project, you can look to a lot of things all around the world. And you get the information that we're all headed down the mountain. And everything's picking up speed. And the Bible speaks about how it will become as a burst and it will speed up in the very end of days. But I'm going to tell you now that all this week I encourage you, studying the book of Revelation, studying the prophecies in Daniel, that will give you, again, the only specific and detailed, accurate insight that we need for the last of days. And how to live, by the way. Do I think we need to be prepared? Absolutely. Even in my book, I devoted chapters to the subject. But prepared spiritually is the most, and how you're going to live is the most important part. Can I read to you some of the comments that were made? Again, this is all about the doomsday safe haven offered under the Mojave Desert. After the article, if you look it up, you're going to see comments. The comments are, again, revealing of things that are going on. The first comment is from Sean. And he says, quote, will Jesus still find me down there? Question mark, quote. Pretty interesting. I think that's a little sarcasm on the issue. Will Jesus find me down there? Bob writes in, the good news is that if your neighbors are fat, you can eat them too. What a joke. If anything happened, you would never have time to make it out there. End of quote. Here comes one from Penelope. It says, quote, great restaurant idea, end of quote. Take a look at BB writes these words, quote, okay, so then the emerging community will consist of only the rich, Since us poor people cannot afford the cost, guess I'll have to sit up on top of the ground and hope for the best. End of quote. Now, here's the comment I want you to hear. A lot of comments, just hilarious comments, too. But I got you to, you got to listen to this one because it relates to the topic tonight and this week, but specifically tonight. Tonight's title is The Attempt to Erase God from God's Fingerprints to the Visible Revelation. And here is what Music on Third says in a comment based on the article on the Doomsday Bunker being built out in the Mojave Desert. Here's their words, quote, "Who cares about Jesus? No such person existed," end of quote. Once again, quote, "Who cares about Jesus? No such person existed," end of quote. No such person existed. Though the New Testament has more to attest to it archaeologically, historically, manuscript-wise, than any other ancient manuscript history pieces of that day. The Romans knew that Jesus existed. The Jews knew that Jesus existed. Josephus knew that Jesus existed. And the disciples that were impacted by the life of Christ and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the most, the most attested to manuscripts in ancient literature by the thousands as far as the birth, the life, the nature, the works, the words of Jesus Christ. An amazing thing, someone would say that he didn't even exist. The denial of history, kind of like Ahmadinejad saying that the Holocaust and the millions in the camps and in the ovens and stacked 10 foot, 20 foot high, that didn't happen either, right? Listen, denial is not, we're not talking about the river here in Egypt, right? We are talking about the existence of God, the existence of Christ. Absolutely amazing to me that someone would say he doesn't. Now, see, that's part of the denial, get rid of God syndrome. Richard Dawkins is part of the and promoter of the get rid of God syndrome, get rid of Christ syndrome. Now, if you step back just a little bit, you're going to find out in biblical revelation and in the encounter with the dark side all these years, the biblical revelation and the actual presence of the dark side when encountered, when engaged, is all about the attempt to erase God, to erase Christ, to devour, to destroy, to do everything that's possible to obscure him, kill him, destroy him, corrupt him, use him. But in all of the biblical historical revelation and witness revelation, and in millions and millions and millions of people around the world that now personally are engaged in relationship to the living Christ. See, this dear fellow, that wrote a comment on the Doomsday Safe Haven offered on the Mojave Desert. I mean, listen to the off-the-cuff. This is off-the-cuff. Is this really what he believes? Who cares about Jesus? No such person existed. And that's the quote. Really? It's obvious that this individual doesn't know him. Maybe you're listening right now, you don't know him. Maybe you see him as a religious figure. Again, psychics, remote viewers, and New Agers and others, that's dealing with the revising, changing him, morphing Christ, and always de-deifying and stripping his saving power and his clear revelation of his visible return to end the end of days. But unveiling the Christ of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the rest of the New Testament, and all of what the Old Testament said in advance, we see this amazing, incredible picture and life and words and birth and works and the cross. If Music on Third that comments, quote, "Who cares about Jesus? No such person existed." End of quote. Again, we're dealing with somebody that is, maybe smoking too much funny stuff. Maybe, again, just anger. Maybe just... See, there's a lot of atheists, and I believe Richard Dawkins has an underlying anger in his passionate desire to rid the earth of God. To blame all evil on God, to erase God, to obscure God, to declare there is no God. I mean, an individual can go to the tallest building anywhere in the world and scream, "There is no God." Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change anything at all. I mean, the blasphemy crowd that's out there with the YouTube videos, the new atheists crowd that are out there with YouTube videos, scream at God, cuss at God, reject God, renounce God, and say that God doesn't exist. Or to simply say the idea, there is no proof. Whose proof? There is no proof. I've got proof all over my life. I've got proof all over my life. And when I was lost and did not know God, I might have said some of the same things. And so these are always off the cuff phrases, but understand that inside fallen us as fallen humanity, see, you're not going to get rid of the fact that you're dying, that you've got evil in your heart, that evil's done by people, that there is a sin code within, a nature within. Where'd it come from? How's come death is eating away at our very physical existence to the point that we can't stop it and that we will die? Does the individual that says, "Who cares about Jesus? No such person existed." Do they have an answer for life? Origins and endings, meaning and purpose. Do they love anybody or feel loved? See, the goal on a spiritual basis, because of the alternative presence around the world, the end of days, there'll be a massive ramping up on a global scale, national scale, a kind of critical mass feeling and thinking concerning erasing God. To erase God from the equation of a human life, of human life. Let's just nix God from creation. Then where did we come from? Aliens brought us here. Chance plus nothing brought us here. We just started out of nowhere. We don't have the answers. We're just simply an agnostic. We don't know. And you can't know. Well, how can you can't know? You know that being an agnostic is self-defeating. To declare absolutely that you can't know something is self-defeating. You just made a absolute declaration. And so really, I think, agnostics are those, again, that are just, don't have the answers, and they don't know what it is, and they feel confused, and so I don't know. I'm just an agnostic. Atheists, on the other hand, many times when I find one, are those that have no breath of God on them, it seems, no touch of God in any of their memory or their life, maybe some angry relationship where they were made to go to church, anger in their heart, anger about their life. And their passionate goal in life is to declare that God doesn't exist. And all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way to the New, in the days of Rome, when nations, governments, persuaded by ideology that would attempt to erase God and replace God with emperor worship, the emperor's God, the people are God. So the goal is, let me give you these again. Let's look at seven of the removal issues. Number one, the goal to remove the fingerprints of God. The idea of intelligent design, ontological, cosmological, teleological, that the universe, there's design, there's intelligent design. And so New Agers and 2012ers and others will try to point, ufologists will try to point to an intelligent master race. I dealt with this last Friday. The ancient aliens broadcast from the History Channel, seen by millions. Once again, erasing God, stripping God out of history, out of the biblical revelation, out of every single way, so that instead of the fingerprints of God, God created, infinite God, uncaused cause, uncreated creator creates it all. Now, for the ufologists and others, it's aliens from another planet that did all this. Did they really? Where are they at? Where's their kindness? Where's their love? Where's their help? If they're the mom and the dad of the human race, where are they? Why do they steal people, rape people, use people, scare people, fly around and don't show themselves? So the idea to remove. Now listen, the Bible is clear. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you read Romans chapter 1, it's very, very clear that created order, the created order reveals the divine nature of God, the eternal power, literally the creator. And it speaks and it communicates and it points to, and the trees and the land and the stars and the beauty points to God. And so much so, I mean, you could deny that all you want, but so much so that it leaves mankind without excuse. You got to separate between people who just deny God's existence, deny intelligent design in the sense of biblical revelation, the teleological, the cosmological arguments, the idea that, again, we know that God exists, a powerful God, an awesome God, an infinite God, a creator God, an eternal God. Romans chapter 1, take a read verse 18 on down. The reasons God gives that mankind suppresses the reality of the fingerprints of God, creation. The reason to suppress, deny, try to erase the fingerprints of God, the idea that God is showing himself through creation, is not based on because the evidence isn't there. God says the evidence is so overwhelming that mankind is without excuse. Richard Dawkins and others are without excuse. No matter how much they declare, you know, here's again a little man, Richard Dawkins, looking up into the universe, declaring there is no God, renouncing the created order's witness, revelation of, and evidence of God, his nature, his eternal being, and declaring that none of that shows God, none of it's proof. In other words, he wants a different kind of proof. In other words, I'm going to create a little box and God's got to get in it for me. I've got a microscope or I've got a machine here and I want God to come down under my hand, under my conditions, under my authority, and I want God to submit to me. Richard Dawkins, a sinner, dying and one day will die. And yet he wants God to submit to his demands for proof. Richard Dawkins is a sinner like you and I. Richard Dawkins is a man like you and I. And the sad point of the life of Richard Dawkins, the atheist, and many others that are atheists is this. The passionate and almost angry clamoring of there is no God and there is no proof seems to be the central point, almost like a psychological, self-convincing, self-fulfilling, prophetic utterance, because within them, within every human being, look at it again, Romans 1, Romans 2, the law of God, the stamp of the existence of God is on the inside and on the outside, even on the revelation of moral law, conscience. It's part of the fingerprints of God. And you could deny the fingerprints all you want, but they don't go away. See, I embrace, I enjoy, I look, I read, I hear, as creation speaks of the enormity of the majesty and the beauty of God. And my privilege then is to talk to the God who made it. Feel his love, feel his presence, feel his power. Know that I shall see God's face. To know the living Christ. Listen, 35 years, what other evidences do I need? The first night that I bowed and opened my heart, opened my life, and Jesus Christ literally came into my life, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. And the inward witness of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, read about it. So vast, so deep, so wide. The outward objective biblical revelation, though spiritual and living and powerful words, has the counterpart of the inward witness of the Spirit of God. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, the good news is this. The same Spirit of God that dwells inside of me, that brings the living Christ into me, gives me relationship, gives me the witness that I know him. And by the way, to the Luciferian Satanists and others that you know spirits and you know spiritual powers and you know summoning, well, you have experience with all that. Okay. Well, I have experience with God and the presence of the living Christ, the same one that died on the cross and rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, is going to come again. And see, it's not just the outward witness of creation. It's the direct knowing. Even the scriptures bring a spiritual force, God appealing to our hearts. That's why many folks will not read the Gospel of John openly. They won't read it with an open heart, an open mind. Listen, if you don't know God, you're a seeker, you're someone that believes that God is just simply a force, then why don't you read the Gospel of John? Take a look. Really study it for what it says. Really be open-minded. If you're really one of those kind of people, say, well, you got to be open-minded. Well, then be open-minded. And read the Gospel of John again and again and again. And take a look. Take your time. I'm telling you now that it will have impact in and upon your life. And I don't care if you're the biggest, you know, atheist in human history. Saul of Tarsus was also a denier of Christ. Denier of what God did concerning Christ. But he also, and let me say it very clearly, was radically, radically changed forever in his life the day he met Jesus Christ. The day he met Jesus Christ and began to live for and walk for and minister and do things in his name. The man that hated him, the man that fought against people that knew him, the man that tried to cover up and deny, is the one that was engaged. So there's really hope for the hardened. I was a hardened individual back in my high school days and right after high school, man. I was a partier. I was a Buddhist. I was spiritually into dark stuff. I was all kinds of stuff. But my hand was up against the full force of the love and the power and the presence and the truth of God, that I was a sinner, that I was lost, that I was separated, that something within me was hostile to God, running from God. I didn't have the answers to life and death, origins and endings, heaven and hell. But God did. Now, listen, that's number one. The goal to remove the fingerprints of God and cover up and obscure the witness of God even in creation. Number two, let's remove prayer. I mean, remove it out of the schools. And some people say, well, that's not a big thing. Well, no, it is a big thing. Because in the removal, the goal to remove, to erase God, his fingerprints, to erase God in prayer, to erase God in evangelism and witness, to erase symbols that might represent, we'll talk about that in a moment, but listen, number two, prayer. Didn't they do this back in the days of Daniel when Daniel would go home? He wasn't doing it outside. He was causing no trouble, but back at his home. They followed him all the way to his home where he would bow down. They took their demonic possessed lives. I'm talking about the governmental leadership. They made a law. They went to the king and had a law that was made to not even let somebody pray to God, even if they're in their own home. That's how far it can go, to erase God. In Babylon, the goal was to erase the living Yahweh God, Creator God. Now, of course, removal for the dark side involves replacement. A lot of kinds of praying and spiritual things going on in Babylon, but it was all to the demon gods, Nebo and all the rest. So it's funny that atheists don't have the same passion to write against Satan, to write against Druids, to write against Wiccans, to write against Buddhists, to write against Hindus. If an atheist is consistent, then they're going to have to attack Hindus and attack Buddhists and attack everybody else. But notice that most and all atheists are attacking the living and real God and Christ, the Savior of the world. Do the atheists want prayer out of the schools? Yes. Wasn't it a declared atheist that fought for the laws that would be made to... See, when I was in grade school, the teacher, all of a sudden the class began and the teacher would read from the Bible and a prayer would be given over the loud system speaker so that all could be a part. Pretty amazing, huh? I don't know what day that ended. I was too much of a kid, a little kid, not being raised in church, not knowing God, knowing nothing about real prayer, the Bible, or anything else. So I'm not sure the day that it ended, but all of a sudden there was a day in which we went to classes as grade schoolers, and there was no Bible reading, there was no prayer. Because somebody fought nationally against it. Because Americans, American believers, didn't do enough, just like today. If you give it to the dogs will take it. And if you're a believer in Christ, may I say again boldly, when it comes to abortion, socialism, globalism, and to the demon gods encroaching the land this from, you know, sea to sea. You can sit back and complain. We can sit back and scream. We can hide, spend $12,500 for a spot in the Mojave Desert bunker where we can eat sloppy joes and pearl white potatoes. Or we can get off the dead horse, surrender to our God that lives. Let our lives be a witness to the living God. Let our lives be a witness of his fingerprints, his saving power, his living presence. By the love that we show, by the works that we do, by the evangelism that we are supposed to be a part of. Number one, they want to erase the fingerprints of God. Number two, they want to erase prayer. Oh, that's true in Congress. That's true all across in governmental places, the UN. Now, to remove prayer to God in Jesus' name, but they don't care about changing, reinterpreting, and opening the doors to the finite demon gods of the past. Number three, to remove witness. I mean, to say that you cannot. Now, in Russia and in Iraq and Iran, you really cannot be out there on the streets witnessing boldly for Christ. I mean, that's one of the evidences that you do not want Sharia law in your country. You do not want Muslim takeover governmentally. In Iraq, in Iran, Muslim countries, to believe in Christ, you could be nixed from your family. To be baptized could be a sentence of death. To witness of Jesus Christ anywhere, in some places, you can be killed. In China, you could be put in jail. So again, in the fallen world system, when the system is inspired by the dark side, by the one that wants to obscure God, erase God, remove the world from God, then laws can be guided and directed as long as good people sit back and do nothing. That say that you cannot pray here, there, wherever. That you cannot witness and share Jesus. You cannot do it in school. You cannot do it on the grounds. You cannot do it on the streets. You cannot go door to door. Listen, in America, we have so much more opportunity still. I'll be out Friday night seeking to witness at a gas station, at McDonald's, wherever it may be. Across our land, you can stand at places with a cross and preach the gospel. To learn to do evangelism well, like the book of Acts and the power of God. That's why people get saved. This radio broadcast gives me the freedom to share Christ. But I guarantee you that the goal to erase God will involve pressure coming against evangelism. Obviously, in the United States, the head of Homeland Security, the others have dealt with those that talk about end-time events, prophecy, so forth, to be put on a list. To share Jesus Christ. In this land, there's still freedom for now. A lot of things are going to matter, the way things are going to go, and what you and I will do as believers in Christ to fight, to keep doors open. That's what 2 Timothy was all about in the fierce, ongoing, massive prayer of the church in praying for peace in the land and keep the doors open to the gospel and praying for those in authority and praying for the salvation of everyone, which is the agenda of the church that God gave. And that it says there in 2 Timothy, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Why aren't churches doing that? I went to a really great church Sunday morning, really great, great, great message, worship. Heard a wonderful song sung by a man. It was absolutely beautiful. And there was some prayer, about a minute worth, totally, even when they allowed the congregation to silently pray for missionaries and others. That was a good thing. But it all lasted about a minute or so, collectively. And I will say again that churches are going to need, not wait till the days it's too bad you can't do this, but right now the opportunity is there before you, pastors and leaders, small group Bible leaders, you know, in your homes. Why not 40 minutes of sustained intercessory prayer for the salvation of souls, the salvation of the city, salvation of family members, salvation of the nation, prayer for those in authority, and then praying for everything else, praying for one another, praying as the Word of God teaches, the Spirit of God leads, and then also using the authority of Christ to pray against radical evil and to pray fiercely, all of these things in the context of the political battles that are going on. It's going to be the emergence of those closer to globalism or those that will pull back those destructive reins demanding the freedom of a sovereign nation that leaves the gospel to be preached as an open and free thing. But there's going to be the goal, even in the last days, where God is still alive and well, no matter what anybody does, no matter what anybody says, no matter what books are written, no matter how much the Antichrist will scream with blasphemies when he arrives, when he has his apocalypse to the world. It does not shake the throne of God. It shakes the nations and shakes individuals. It obscures and seeks to erase God. Only for one thing, to grab hearts and lives and drag them over to all. Listen, it's all about an alternative God, small g. Number one, the goal to erase or to remove the fingerprints of God. Number two, the goal to erase or remove prayer, sustained prayer to God in Christ's name. Number three, to remove witnessing, evangelism, the great commission of the church. Will be more and more attacked, as it is in some nations already. The fourth thing is even the removal of symbols. And I believe out there in California, Mojave Desert, isn't it? A cross was constructed just on the basis of vets that have died. They had a big voting thing. The courts ordered that it could stay. And then somebody stole it. See, wherever there's going to be persecution against the body of Christ worldwide, if there's a symbol of a cross, I mean, even the symbols to persecutors need to be destroyed. Anything that would remind a person of God, of Christ, anything that would point to God or Christ. So even the concept of symbols, in the Old Testament, it would be the temple. When demonized pagan nations would come and attack Israel, the destruction or taking and stealing of the temple, the tearing down. In Daniel's day, where there was no place to worship, they gave them nothing. The sixth area, obviously, the Bible. Remove it out of the schools, remove it out of the court systems, remove it out of government buildings, remove it off of plaques, remove the Word of God from, you know, anywhere, everywhere possible. And so the goal, again, to erase God would involve erasing the number one revelation of God, the Word of God, clearly. Now, there's a spiritual attack on the Scriptures, the Bible teaches very clearly. Satan would seek to take that away. And then there's also the removal of places. Church buildings in North Korea, when even the North Koreans attack the South and other places around the world, what do? Bomb church buildings, burn, even in India. This has happened in China and India and in Iraq and Iran and in Kuwait. You know, blow up the churches in Sudan. And then ultimately, the goal, we've said again and again, Revelation 19:19, if you want to understand the agenda, the passionate spiritual agenda, involves ultimately to stop the visible return of Christ. To erase Christ when he came the first time, Revelation 12 shows us that was the dark goal. The bottom line to all of this, if you can't erase everything, at least paint over God. Next door neighbors had some kids that came by and took paint and wrote the F word on a garage, only they misspelled it. The kids were from an inner city school. These were white kids that were mad at these people, so they wrote cuss words, and one of the kids misspelled the F word. Others crossed it out and rewrote it. It was kind of hilarious when the cops came, and the next door neighbor had the cops come, and the only thing they could really do was report it, but the neighbor then painted over these curse words, though it was painted over, you could still see the words. I'm going to say that the more we get towards the end of days, the more the dark side will seek to paint over, offering an alternative substitute. You don't want it. God is alive and well. Christ is alive now. You can come to the living Christ right now. Listen, we're at the end of the hour. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Tuesday night. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.